This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Nothing to me says romance like looking for condoms and Hennessy.
She's the crazy one of the season.
And the drunk.
He calls her Naggy.
His shirt's open like a Colombian drug lord.
He does not like pizza.
Can we talk about the big, wide open fish mouth?
He's like a walking success poster. Yeah.
Welcome back, Bachelor Pad fans. I'm Christine Lee, along with Katie Pallotta and Ryan Jones. This is a little, like a theater project right now. Katie, you are Crystal, and I would just like you to comment on last night's show. Go ahead.
I have to get in the right state of mind for this.
This is improv.
There is no state of mind
for
Crystal.
Come on,
that's true.
This is improv. I'm asking you to channel Crystal. All right, you guys, but seriously, Katie, Ryan, hi, guys.
Hi.
Fourth week of Bachelor Ari's attempt at finding himself love, and they travel out to beautiful Lake Tahoe, and I'm sitting there with my son. I say, oh, he goes, where's that, Mom? I said, it's California. And then it says, they go to Nevada. And I feel like such a
tool. But you weren't wrong. It covers a lot of ground, so you weren't wrong.
Right.
And also, a lot of the Instagram posts, like the locations on the girls' pictures, said Lake Tahoe, CA. So
even
you're not the only
didn't
one.
Know where they were.
Maybe they weren't sure where they were.
I just think it's interesting that Chris walks in and says, you're leaving the house, and you're going to take a trip across the world.
Right.
And we're going to Nevada. And that's not a knock on Lake Tahoe. Obviously, that's where all the rich folk hang out. But if you're going to lead with a trip across the world and it starts in Tahoe,
Lake Tahoe? Well, they were super excited about it. And especially our taxidermist when they got to the mansion or the, I don't know, I guess you would call it a chateau on
lodge.
Tahoe. A lodge, thank you. Filled with dead garanimals on the wall, on the floor.
Pretty much everywhere.
And I don't think we have figured out what Ari thinks of the taxidermist yet.
He seemed pretty into her
and
this week.
Also freaked out by her at the same time.
Well, even after she said she travels with one, he still was all about it.
Yeah, Kendall.
And it was on her shoulder and she talked to it. And they still made out after that.
Well, I mean, how is it different from traveling with a teddy bear? That's kind of what I was thinking.
The teddy bear has never been alive.
Mine has. I believe
yes,
mine has.
4-year-old Christine, it was alive for 4-year-old Christine. But the rest of the world, it was never alive. This was a living being.
There's something to say, too, that they kissed after they both ate worms, too.
Yeah.
So there's that.
What did you think of that?
It was pretty disgusting, but it seemed right up her alley.
The whole episode, I was waiting for Bear Grylls to jump out and say, righto, next thing you're going to do is take out your knife and we're going to gut a fish.
But they gave you a green beret.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty hardcore.
Well, but especially for you. I know how you feel about men in uniform. I know he wasn't wearing his uniform, but I'm sure you were imagining it as he was there.
I was a big fan. He had the whole look going on, the pure white, high and tight hair. I mean, it was,
I like how he had his wife there. It was a family affair about the surviving.
But did you see her face, the wife's face, when he was saying, I'm here with my wife? And she looked like they had just had an argument. And she had a look on her face.
I mean, probably.
Like, because you know who runs the household.
Well, you know what it was about.
Not him.
Clearly, she was saying, are we really going to do the pee stunt? Really?
No, we're not. We're not going to do it. It just happened.
She just looked like they had had some words.
I have no doubt it was about the peeing thing.
Okay. Let's go back. The episode starts with a one-on-one date with Cien, who I think all of us are pretty convinced she's way out of his league in every possible way. And even he says that.
Yes.
But they went on their date. And what was it? Parasailing behind a boat while the other girls were spying. I thought there was going to be some kind of horror music come up, like while they were spying and creeping.
I think you might have gotten it if half the girls weren't using the binoculars to look at the trees that were literally 5 feet in front of them. Wow, you can see the pine needles.
You can see each needle.
You could just reach out and grab the pine needles. You don't need the binoculars. That's cool.
I just felt like some good horror music, kind of Blair Witch Project. It would have made it so much more effective.
Yes.
They were just stalking them on their date.
Yeah, and it's always awkward when they have dates like that and
everyone can see.
Yeah, and like the whole house is just watching you, you know, go on your date. That's always an awkward scenario.
And they also went to dinner where they got into a little bit more of each other's past relationships.
I kept waiting for the Lauren syndrome because...
What, to dump her and not come back?
No, more for her, Cien, to sort of get into her own head because, like she said, when you get the one-on-one, the first one, you know, the first week after he sends home Lauren on a one-on-one, she's excited, but then she's thinking, oh, crap, is he just picking people that he's not sure about? Do I have something to worry about? And then was she going to go off the rails? And she clearly did not.
Right.
But she even said that she was sort of in her head about it. Is this because you like me? Is this because maybe you think I need to go home?
And you don't want to do it in front of a bunch of other people.
Yeah, so I was a little worried she was just going to start going like this. And then, oh, well, when this happened and this happened and this happened. But indeed, they had a real conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, I was worried at first because there wasn't a ton of eye contact in the beginning. And then, so I was like, this is going to go exactly like you said, like with Lauren when she was on that date and it was just hard to watch. But Cien really carried the whole conversation. Like she, whether she was told to or not, I don't know.
But that's pretty much par for the course, as we've seen.
Each bit of conversation she started, which was a good look for her. And I think he ended up liking that.
Or exhausting for her, and she's making a mental note like, this is ridiculous. She also held the wine glass that was a white wine glass by the stem, which is how you're supposed to hold a white glass. I mean, come on, Cien.
Classy.
Well, you know she's not going to do anything wrong. I think that's that's pretty clear. But we finally, after what, you know, 2 days, got another musical performance. And
did you know who those guys were?
Yes.
What were they called? Lucas?
Did Mrs.
Luck and Huck, or what were they?
Lanco,
thank you.
And, you know, Katie is not only the resident bachelor specialist here, but she also is the country girl. And
oh! You've heard of Luck and Huck.
I am a fan of Lancôme.
I like Lancôme, too. Their makeup is fabulous.
Janko was fantastic. They were great. No,
just short for Lancaster and Company. Just so you know, tidbit there.
Whoa, look at that.
Big fan.
Dropping dimes here.
It was a good tie-in because I usually look into when they have musical performances because why not? Because we have this podcast and why not? But her whole conversation pretty much was about how she didn't see her love. She never sees an ending to her love story. And like in the media too, because she's a black woman and she just usually never sees, you know, a good ending. And
yeah, the princesses don't generally look like her.
Exactly. Which was her whole concept that she was talking about. And for them to sing their song, Greatest Love Story, it's a good tie-in.
Have to give them that. That was a good one.
Dynamite drop in there, Katie. Yeah.
What are you smirking about?
No, that was fantastic nugget.
Yeah.
And I like Lancôme. I think that song has a chance to be like a legitimate mainstream hit. So if you're not a country fan, you still might be seeing Lancôme again. The Bachelor it might not be the last time you ever see them.
Well, while they were on their date, Mikkel was standing on the balcony overlooking the lush scenery.
Well, you know when they give her a phone, it's bad.
Right, because they don't have phones. Yep. And so clearly she's given a phone, and then they said, all right, take two on the phone call. Here you go. Her grandfather had passed away. Uh-huh. And so she packed up all her stuff, and she left, as she should, to go to his funeral. But we don't know if she's coming back. There's kind of a big question mark around that.
Yeah, and I think the girls brought that up, too. Like, is she going to come back after...
I love,
you know,
how that was
the
their
services
main focus
and everything.
Too. Like, I know your grandpa died, but are you coming?
Marie...
Do I need to worry about you coming back to, like, fight you for this?
Should we just X you off, or are you coming back?
Marie did say that, you know, she felt for her, you know, a little extra just because she was able to be with her grandfather when he passed, and she wasn't. So, you know, that's got to be even harder. Then, oh, and I hope she comes back to the house. So, there was a little bit of normal empathy in there before just, I need one more person to hang out with.
I mean, I know for me personally, after going to a funeral, I want to come right back to a reality show and just get right back into things. Or not.
Well, clearly she did not want to go to Lake Tahoe because we did not see her the rest of the episode.
Yeah, no, of course not. And so she left, and we move on to the group outing.
A big group outing,
Big group outing. In the woods with our survivalist.
Green Beret and his
Green
wife.
Green Beret and his wife, who looked like she was going to kick his ass the second they got home. But
12 people is a lot.
Apple juice, it's pee, it's not pee, drink your pee to survive.
As he was doing that, well, first I couldn't believe that they made these girls pee in this very small...
This was an opportunity to use that device, Go Girl, that
right.
Katy Perry had been talking about, like, for
the
women
funnel.
To... Come on, the product placement opportunity
missed.
But in any event.
And I said, there's no way they're doing this. There's no way they're doing this. There's no way they're doing this. And then he drinks it. I say, did they really... And then, of course, he's, no, wait. It's because one of them picked it up and was actually going to drink it.
Yeah, it was Jenna...
Probably.
I drink my pee for Ari. I don't know if that's something that you want, you know.
I think
top
the point
line
is you drink it
pitch.
To survive, and that's about it. You don't drink it for a guy just because he's
I knew there must have been, there was going to be some, no pun intended, gag to it, but because ABC wouldn't do that. They wouldn't go that far, I don't think.
I figured there's no way they were going to do it until he actually. Half, he sold it really well, the sip, and then sort of spit some out. I bought it for a second, and then he let me off the hook, too, because then I think, oh, they're going to let the girls drink their pee? What is happening?
And they were getting ready, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they were all in Ferrari.
Well, I mean, Kendall ate the worm. I was actually quite shocked and somewhat impressed at that, you know.
Kendall
were you
bought
shocked,
in 100.
Though, that she did it?
Well, not, I guess of all the people to do it,
just probably she didn't try to stuff it. Or, but she bought in because
little tiny tweezers to stuff it. To get like a little
she said from the beginning, "This is where she's gonna thrive," and she did everything enthusiastically and was happy to. You know, she was one of the people that Crystal was saying was just acting desperate and putting, you know, just over the top with their personalities and just. Oh, desperation. The Crystal drinking game by itself will kill you at this point.
Crystal, as annoying as Crystal is.
And she is.
I was equally as annoyed with the mean girls who were doing, you know, let's make fun of her voice. I thought they were just as high school as, I don't know how old Crystal is, 40, whatever. Like, I just
65.
She's age appropriate for Ari, let's put it that way. But I just thought, you mean, pot, kettle, black, they were just as bad in a different way.
Yeah, they could have taken a higher road.
They were teaming up on each other, the two of them.
Normally, I would agree with you. And I'm total anti-Mean Girls, and we've talked about this in the past, especially with Corinne when she was getting super bad, and it got to an uncomfortable point on both sides. Here, it doesn't bother me as much because she really has continued to show zero redeeming qualities while she's on the show.
I actually enjoyed her last night's episode.
You're the one. We found her. ABC.
I was liking her being irritating to everyone else in the house.
I think we would all agree, and probably everyone listening would agree, that she's the producer pick. She's the one
that they went to him and said,
this is the person you're keeping. Make your decisions, but she's staying.
Yeah, but the moment I went on Team Crystal last night was when some girls were sitting around complaining that they're not here for the right reasons, and I really am into Ari, and I just thought, will you give me a break? All of you guys are here to play a game. You're all here on a game show. You're all here on a reality show. You're throwing her under the bus for playing it in her own way. That irritated me so much. Oh, Katie, you disagree with me?
I'm seeing both sides.
I'm hypocritical a little bit.
But I couldn't deal with her. Last night, I was hoping
Crystal would get more annoying just to irritate them even further.
And it was good to see her squirm at the end a little bit, and then she had to pull her.
Can I see you for a minute?
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I was really hoping, and producer pick aside, I was really hoping that conversation would end in the hallway with him saying, you know, this just isn't working, as opposed to, oh, yeah, of course they're going to get intimidated by you. Oh, come on.
I was too, but it's still too early to let her go in this.
Yeah, because
it's just annoying.
It's not interesting. The show, you remove Crystal, Katie, and Becca M, the show is no longer as interesting immediately.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, you go back to the first week where Chelsea was the villain. And so all of a sudden she'd go back to being the villain as opposed to seeming quite normal now that you put her up against this Looney Tunes.
Well, okay.
Well, just when she makes comments like, it's hard to shine because I come off so flawless. And it's just hard to shine with all this desperation.
Yes!
And
more!
If you have to go around telling everyone, A, that you're flawless.
Right.
And B, that everyone else is desperate. Not only are you not flawless, but you're the desperate one. This is pretty, you know, the whole you point one finger, you point three back at yourself.
I thought it was great. I thought it was a brilliant tactic. I enjoyed it thoroughly. I'm sick of the all, you know, first there was cattiness seasons back, and then all the girls decided to be all friends and team up with each other and girl power. And I'm kind of missing that mudslinging.
Yeah.
So it was.
Well, it's only going to get worse here on out.
She's only winding them up.
Yeah.
But shocker, Becca M is 22.
Oh my gosh.
The big reveal.
Which I thought, I mean, they wanted the girls to be able to talk about it, you know, not have to edit around it. So I get it. But the first minute of the show, they say how old she is, which I was kind of surprised by. I thought they would leave the audience, those of us that don't, you know, Insta-stalk these ladies and find out how old they are. I thought they would leave the audience sort of in suspense, but literally the opening seconds, you know, Becca swimming in the pool and them talking inside. I don't think she told him how old she is. He's not going to go.
And that became the talk of the rest of the episode.
How do you think he took the reveal? How do you think he took it?
It was the most emotion I think we've seen from him.
True.
In four episodes.
He actually popped another gray hair.
Not many left, so he better
when
be
that
careful.
Happened, and you can see it sprout. Like, 14 years apart. Oh, no.
Yeah. I mean, he was still nice about it, but you could tell he definitely started, all the red flags and reservations started coming up.
It's so telling that not only hand over mouth.
Yeah.
But, oh my God, you're so young. The first words out of his mouth.
Yeah, but to be fair, Becca M is a lot more mature than Crystal is, who's 10 years older than she is, or I don't know, something like that.
Yeah, I did feel bad because this was the exact moment that Becca was dreading with sharing her age, which you obviously have to tell him at some point, the earliest, the better. But this was probably the exact line that she was dreading to hear.
Yeah.
And he was like, you're so young. Like, I don't think you're ready. What if you're not ready? What if we get to the end and you decide that's not what you
There's
want?
There's so much about that I didn't like, though.
Yeah.
Because...
Agreed.
I wasn't ready to be married when I was 22. You weren't ready to be married when you were 22.
Right.
You weren't ready to be married when you're 22.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean she's not ready to be married when she's 22. And she shouldn't have to say, oh, well, this person in my family... You don't have to justify... If you're ready, you're ready. If you're not, you're not. I mean, whether you're 22, 32, 42, everybody's different. This idea that these 24 and 25-year-old girls are sitting in the house saying, there's no way she could be ready for marriage. And Ari dancing around it. He clearly wanted to just ask, hey, how old are you? And he just kept trying to walk close enough to the line.
And then tiptoe right back.
And right back until she finally had to actually say, he didn't ever ask.
Yeah.
She said, oh, do you know how old I am?
Yeah.
But don't you guys remember when you were in your 20s, very young, and you were starting off in the professional world? And I remember being, I didn't want anyone to find out how old I was because suddenly I have no credibility. Oh, I thought you were older and had more experience. You know, it's so weird how that works. When you're younger, you want people to, if you're a mature human being, you want people to think you're older. And then when you get older... Like, what? Yeah, I'm 10 years younger. But still, I mean, it happens all the time. You have a baby face. The people, do you feel like you get...
Well, and Katie's the actual baby here. She gets it all the time.
It's like, oh.
It's true.
Oh. And all this experience you have just went out the window because I found out. That is bogus.
Yeah.
Totally bogus.
It's just the idea that whatever you do, that your age is a factor. You know, if it's not smoking or drinking... Your age shouldn't matter. If you can do the job, you can do the job. If you're ready to be married, you're ready to be married. If you're not, you're not. Just like some of these girls, they're 29. So, that means you're ready to be married. That means nothing.
Yeah, he definitely turned it to be a negative thing. And he kind of said before she told him how old she was that he wasn't going to do that. Like, he wasn't going to judge her on her age because he felt like he knew her already and what she stood for and what she wants. And then she goes, oh, I'm 22. And all of a sudden, he did everything that
about
he
everything
said,
I just said
that he wasn't going to do.
Although, you know, you can see both sides because you think you're with someone, you like them, and you find out they're 14 years younger than you. And let's say you're in your 40s, they're 14 years younger than you there. But when you're in your 30s and they're 14 years younger, it seems like a bigger maturity gap. And so it does get a little scary. And you do, I mean, it's human nature to think, oh, do I need to be careful here?
No, I get.
No life experience.
I get it.
Am I going to be the first one to break her heart? Like, it's scary.
I get how the girls see it. I get how he sees it. I just don't think it's right. But I fully understand it. When you see somebody who's, you know, goes through some very major event, whether it's getting married, having kids, at a very young age, or what's considered young for those things, I think most people's initial reaction is, oh, okay, but if that's their path, if that's what they want, I don't know.
Oh, please, but then we applaud 15-year-olds when they go on Shark Tank as an entrepreneur. Are they ready to be in the business world, a 15-year-old kid? Well, yeah, because they are smart enough and they can handle it. Can my 15-year-old kid? Well, I'm not so sure. But, you know, like you said, you're ready when you're ready.
He wants to go from the, oh, my God, I was a freshman in high school when she was born. Okay. Well, then
you
maybe
have to stop looking at it that way.
Of course, you shouldn't, but at least I'd understand it a little bit more from that because, like Katie said, he was explaining all the reasons why age didn't matter, and then, well, age matters.
Yeah, he just, that's always going to be in his head now, and I don't think, I mean, maybe a week or two.
Yeah.
But I think that's
I almost
be it.
Wonder if he was going to send her home and then... Because everything he was saying leading up to when he picked up the rose was, I'm sending her home. I almost wonder if he got into his own head and be like, well, I don't want to be an ageist. You know?
No, I totally see that because I didn't know if she was going to get the rose after he picked it up either.
Because you have to think all of these girls that are sub-24 watching the show who, you know, oh, Ari, oh, we're not good enough for you? You know, get lost.
You're saying she was going to go home until she played the age card.
No, I don't think she played it. I think he played it in his head,
in his
thinking,
head.
How is this? This is not going to look great that this girl that I was swallowing her face every episode, every time I saw her. Now, 20 seconds after I find out how old she is, I'm sending her home.
Yeah. They had a nice horseback ride, though, through the woods and, you know.
A hot tub.
And
twice a hot tub this episode.
They have good chemistry
episode.
Together.
Drink.
Yeah, and he actually shared an actual story about himself, about getting in that crash and breaking his collarbone and for the first time this whole season.
Do you think, maybe he's actually sharing all this with her, and then he's looking at himself like, oh my God, I'm into someone who's 14 years younger. I thought I'd know better. Like you're saying, he realized that.
Well, like Ryan said, he was definitely
taken aback,
trying to go around that question in the beginning, and he was saying how, oh, you know, I've gotten really boring, and do you still go out at night? Like,
when I was in my late 20s, mid-20s, early 20s.
He had to throw in that. When I was 19s. In my late 20s, I wasn't ready for a lot of things, and then that's when she dropped the age bomb. But
right. Do you still go out at night?
Yeah, like that's like, when you're asked that question, like that's, they're trying to figure out how
you shouldn't have to defend your weekend activities.
Yeah, where, and then she's like, well, I get up early on Saturdays
and go hiking and climbing and wait, do you know how old I am? She just finally, I think, got sick of the, you know, the dancing around the question and just attacked it finally.
Yeah. Why did he call off the cocktail hour?
Well, they
what is this?
Did you not listen to Chris?
But he said he had already made up his mind. Probably because he doesn't want to deal with anything else this week.
Because he's non-confrontational. This seems like a tactic that's happening more and more in more seasons now. Yeah. It seems like it's becoming more normal than before. I like to see the train wreck of the cocktail parties. That's part of the fun of tuning in.
Well, and there was the building uncomfortable sort of environment between Crystal and the rest of the girls. And
more reason to have a cocktail party.
Not if you need to keep her and you don't want it to get to a point where it really alienates the other women to keep her around.
God, when was the last time we had a close-up of someone chewing on meat at a cocktail party like Chad? This was an opportunity for something fantastic. And ABC screwed it all up.
We did get more eating, though. Was that Tia?
I think
they were bacon-wrapped dates, I think you said they were.
They did.
Tia got the rose.
On the group date.
Thank God, by the way, because they were clearly painting that as Tia versus Crystal. And
not a fan of Tia.
With his track record between Chelsea and Crystal, I was expecting him to give it to Crystal.
Should have given it to Crystal.
No.
Absolutely.
No.
Tia was the right choice.
I am Team Tia all the way. And I don't. She's not even on my actual team, is she?
No, she's on yours. Your team.
Well, take her off my team because I'll trade. Can we trade? Yeah.
I don't. Why do you not like Tia? She's awesome.
You have Tia and Crystal.
No, I got annoyed with Tia last night. And
let me see my thing.
I've decided that I can't be Team Tia. I don't know. I just got really irritated and said, that's it. I can't.
Really? Why do you not like Tia? Tia's awesome.
No, Crystal, I don't know.
Tia's great. She definitely does have that mean girl side. That can
definitely
come out.
And but her buddy had that last year, too.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's exactly how Raven was, too.
It's, you know, it's a little bit of a streak there when you're that young, and not to play the age card, but generally speaking, you can get more into the mean girl stuff. But
I knew girls like that in high school.
I still didn't think she was that bad. I think what most of the things they said were warranted.
Ryan.
If you dig your hole, you got to be ready to fall in.
That just doesn't sound right at all. Really, I just really want Crystal to go. At this point, I'm very excited for her. I hope she sticks around for a long time.
Can you imagine her in a finale? Oh, God.
Hi, we already met on the first date, Mom and Dad, but I'm here to meet the hometown again.
So here's a Becca theory, Becca M.
Yeah.
Because it's funny, the other Becca we just don't talk about anymore.
No, but I have her going all the way.
Yeah, I think she's a favorite. But so Becca M., do you think there's a chance?
Here we go.
Because I was on your side here, Katie. Maybe a week or two because he actually wants to get rid of her.
Here comes the big theory.
So maybe he holds on to her right through fantasy suites.
Why? to get with a
22. She's 22!
Oh my God. Well, it's funny. It's funny that you say that because right before she ended up getting the rose, he was like, he kind of seemed not upset, but I don't know, aggravated maybe. And he's like, I'm not here for a 22-year-old girlfriend. I'm here for a wife.
Uh-huh. But it doesn't mean so, he's not here for a 22-year-old.
Oh, no, I'm not saying that he's against that.
Because think about it this way. Uh-huh. If you're Ari Leyendyke.
Right.
And you're going through your Tinder.
Okay.
You think he's setting up his age at 28 or 29? No, he's setting up at 21. And do you think he's swiping left on the 21 and 22 years? No, he's swiping right. Doesn't mean he's, as he said, I don't want a 22-year-old girlfriend, and that's fine. But doesn't
he just
mean,
wants to drive the Ferrari and then settle down with the Honda? Is that what you're saying?
That is the very short way of my very long-winded conspiracy.
I get
theory.
It. Did you guys see SNL over the weekend? They did a skit on The Bachelor.
No,
and it was they did you know one of their guys dressed up as
I love that
salt and pepper.
I like that. I love that.
They even
I
had
love
the,
that.
One of the girls come in with short hair and sat down next to him on the bench, and she's like, "I have short hair. Have you ever seen short hair? I know you've never seen short hair ever, ever, ever. Isn't it amazing that I have?" And I felt like such a jackass because I made a big deal out of her having short hair, and here I fell right into it.
But it's true. We never see short hair on The Bachelor. It's true.
It was still. Anyway, so we went home. We had Brittany, T, and Caroline.
That's it, because...
Maybe Mikkel.
Maybe Mikkel.
Question mark.
Because usually, you know, we've had been sending three home, and maybe just because there was one less woman to even choose from.
Yeah.
He sent two? I don't know.
And we touched on it a little bit in the last podcast, but after we recorded our podcast last week, and then I got back on the internet, and Twitter had a massive epic meltdown over Nick Vial dating
January Jones.
And the best comment I said is, how does this guy keep getting women?
Women.
Hot
January
women.
Jones.
And she even said that, basically said, I think he's a dirt bag, and that's why I like him. Like, he just...
Well, and she's a super fan.
And she, so they
of
people,
The Bachelor.
How
so
can you be a super fan and want to date the guy?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I got nothing, because she is just on the surface between interviews and acting. She seems perfect. She's smart. She's funny.
Yeah.
She's gorgeous.
She's been in a ton of stuff.
And he's Nick.
Yeah, he's Nick.
Yeah.
He's shushing Nick.
I mean, he wants to be an actor too. So maybe they bond over that. That and The Bachelor.
Mumbling Nick.
Yeah, he's got
and he's been acting some.
Where?
I think he was on one of those Hallmark movies.
Which one?
Oh, and he did an ABC like sitcom.
Yeah,
he's in one episode. I forget which one.
He's taking over Hollywood, baby.
Meanwhile, Sean Lowe and his wife
Catherine
are on an upcoming episode of The Prophet, which is kind of like Shark Tank, because they're trying to.
I love them.
Are like business. They are serious, and you know how reality stars stay relevant is they get into other businesses and try to make other things work.
Try to sell things on Instagram,
right? And so they've come up with their own product that they're trying to push, and so they're going to be on that show.
Diffy Eyewear, y'all. Hashtag ad.
Hello Fresh.
Gotta pay them bills.
So you guys aren't a fan of Crystal. She interrupted
no.
at the
no
end.
Way.
You guys want her to go away. Ugh. Next week, they go to Fort Lauderdale.
Again, the wacky
around
trip
the world.
Around the world continues in Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
And I guess the previews are kind of hinting at Ari seeing Crystal's true colors.
Which means he's not going to.
Shining
because why?
They're going
to tell us that. But I don't know about you. I was going to take an exotic trip to, I don't know, Italy or somewhere like that. But I'm just going to go to Fort Lauderdale because that's going around the world.
Maybe around the world is like a bar term. So you just go and try a different drink.
There are other around the world terms that we can talk about. But
what, Katie, you were looking at something over there. It looked like you had something else that you wanted to throw in there.
Oh, no. Nick was on Speechless.
That's
the show
what it
Speechless.
Was.
Yeah. That's all. He made an appearance on Speechless. So I couldn't remember which sitcom it was.
He's adding to his resume.
See?
He's getting out there.
Maybe he wants to get January Jones in The Last Man on Earth on Fox. Maybe he's trying to weasel his way into being
weasel
one of the last...
Weasel is the perfect word.
One of the last men on Earth, because the show...
But
title is not right.
Did you
right,
hear how they kind of got talking?
No.
Was that he asked her to do a lip sync battle, and she said no.
And then
that just sparked conversation, I guess.
Maybe there's more to the guy than meets the eye. I mean, maybe he really isn't.
Maybe.
I mean, we saw him like 3 or 4 times.
I might win Powerball tonight. That doesn't mean
right.
It's going to happen.
Okay, then. Well, I didn't learn any new survival skills while they were out in the woods at Lake Tahoe. I was very disappointed.
I don't know why they had those big backpacks. Like, it was like a 0.8 mile, like, loop.
For
what was in the bag?
Authenticity, or if you noticed the brand on the bag, perhaps it was product placement. Was it a North
I thought
Face?
So, but I didn't even see a
well,
brand.
They didn't even
so
need to because they had Hard Rock paid for the episode already.
Yeah,
if you
okay.
notice, he did the walk through the door and
twice.
Twice. They did the full sell with Hard Rock Casino.
Well, I guess, I don't know. I just a little disappointed. I thought maybe I would learn something a little bit more other than drinking your own pee. And
yes, you find a green beret and you say, help me.
Right. And hope that his wife doesn't kick your ass if you walk up yeah. to a green beret.
And you can eat earthworms. It's fine.
Full of protein.
Mm.
Well, I guess, who do we lose in our fantasy teams here? Katie, you're still doing
I lost
good.
Caroline and half of Mikkel, maybe.
Question mark over there.
She's halfway faded out. I lost Brittany T.
So that means I didn't lose anyone. Woo! Rare week.
On to the next week, you guys. Like we said, they go to Fort Lauderdale. So this is good. We're narrowing it down. And then there were 12.
So who do you have left?
Well, who do I have
Or maybe
left?
13, right? Is that what we're down to?
I have
12,
Becca K.
13?
I have Crystal. I have Tia and Ashley.
I have Lauren B., Kendall, CN, Marique, and... half
possibly
of
Mikkel. Marique is so beautiful.
She is.
You can't stop staring at her when she comes on the screen.
And then I have Becca M. with the amazing short hair, which is so crazy.
Oh my God, never seen that before.
Oh my God.
Chelsea, Jacqueline, and Jenna.
All right, then. So we'll just have to sit around and wait for a whole another week to go by. Thank you for tuning in to the Bachelor podcast. I was wondering if we'd do a little improv at the end, Katie, if you wanted to.
What's my motivation here? Where am I
oh my God,
from?
Everyone's so desperate.
Okay, Katie Plata, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Ryan Jones.
I'm going to go cut my hair real short.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.